Well, every year I try to seek the Lord about, hey, Lord, what is the word that you have for us as a church each year? And some years has been different. A few years ago, he gave us the word pursue. And I thought, well, okay, that's great. And little did I know that, 3 months later, that COVID was going to hit and shut down like so many things. We were in a place we were having a growth project and a building project and that type of thing. And so we don't know what to do. But then we went back as we sought God, endeavored to use wisdom and prayed, like, what's next? And so as we did all of that, we remembered the word that God spoke to us, which was pursue. So we did it wisely and intentionally and purposefully, but we continued with our building program, which enabled us, one of the reasons why you're sitting in this facility today instead of crowded in the north, you're crowded in here as opposed to crowded in the north place. And it gave us opportunity to grow. And it's even like right now, we're in another growth project. We're doing a thing called the Legacy Project, which is going to give us an opportunity to reach more kids than we've ever reached before. And that's a big deal to us, is that kids matter here to us. And so we as a congregation, we're committed to that. And so, but that word pursue helped us have direction as to what was next and what the Lord wanted to do in us and through us and what he was going to take place as a result of that. Well, I believe that the word that he's given us this year is the word stand. And we're going to look at what that means. What does it mean to stand, spiritually in that? So if you would, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. If you're pretty new to this and still learning your way around the Bible, I want you to know there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And Ephesians is in the New Testament. The Old Testament starts with Genesis. The New Testament starts with Matthew. And so it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Now, Ephesians was actually a letter that a guy named Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to a church in a place called Ephesus. It was a church that he had started, he had planted. And so he's writing, and it's divided up into 6 chapters. The first 3 chapters really deal with things that Jesus did for us on the cross. It says things like this: in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 2, it says this, that you've been made his masterpiece, created to do good works from the beginning, And so just in Ephesians 1, there's a prayer that he prays over the church. In Ephesians 3, there's another prayer that the Apostle Paul prays over the church. And even in Ephesians 3:20, he says this, that God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Well, then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he begins to tell us practically what that looks like lived out. Like, first of all, in our own individual life, he says things like, hey, if you're stealing, don't steal. Labor with your hands so that you can have to give to him that has need. He says, quit lying. If you have trouble lying, quit lying. He says, don't let anger, don't let it control your life where you end up sinning in your anger, and just different things like that. And then in Ephesians 5, he moves into relationships. And he talks about husbands and wives and workers and co-workers and how to raise our kids and how we raise our children and what children's response to their parents should be. And then, and just all sorts of different things personally and relationally in 4, 5, and 6. And then in chapter 6, verse 10, he says this, as he's concluding the letter, he says this, a final word. In other words, I'm going to sum it all together with this. Be strong. Everybody say, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In other words, find our strength in the Lord, not in our circumstances, not in our resources, not in who's for us, not in who's on our side, but be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. So put on God's armor so you can stand firm against all strategies of the devil. So he said, hey, I'm concluding this by saying, be strong in the Lord, put on God's armor so that you can stand firm. In other words, that's kind of a pushback, that's resisting. Stand firm against the strategies of the devil. In other words, he's letting us know this, that he's reminding us that we have an enemy, and our enemy is not just, he's not just kind of like, I think I'll do this today. No, he's very strategic in how he attacks each one of us. He's very strategic in how he attacks you. He's very strategic in how he attacks me. He's very strategic in how he attacks the church. And so we have an enemy that we have to put on God's armor, and we have to be willing to stand so we can resist the strategies of the devil. Then he goes on to say this. He said, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Now, again, remember the context. He had just got through talking about marriage. He just got through talking about parenting. He just got through talking about how to respond to our parents. He just got through talking about how to respond in work relationships. He referred to them as servants and masters and that kind of thing. And so, you know, today we don't do it that way, but you know, the place that you work in, you got a boss, you got, you know, you're working there in that time. How do we respond in those situations? And so after he talks about these relationships, then he wants to remind us, oh, and by the way, the devil's strategic, and sometimes these battles, often in these battles, that he uses these relationships and he makes you think that that's your battle. He makes you think that in your marriage that the enemy is your spouse. Well, Pastor Rick, have you met my husband? He wants you to know that the fight is not against them. Sure felt that way on the way to church. Well, and again, that's what the devil does. It's one of his tricks, man. He shows up and he fights and he puts a face on the battle and it's not his. And so he says this, oh man, all sorts of my own personal issues. Anyway, so he said this, he said, therefore put on every piece of, let me back up here. He says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So that's where our real battle is. Yes, he uses people, just like he's used me at times. A believer, a pastor, I know there have been times that the enemy, in my weaknesses, used me, you know, and somebody thought that I'm their enemy. Well, I may have been the one in my immaturity or my brokenness that the devil has used, but the enemy's the devil. And so he said, therefore, because this battle's spiritual, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. So first of all, he told him in the beginning of this context here, stand firm. And he said, in order to do that, put on God's armor, fight the right enemy. And so at the end of the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Then he said, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. So what it means to stand is that, and in the King James, he put it this way, in verse 13, he said, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So what he's saying was that in this life, in this journey, in our race, in God's, in the thing that God has for us, and his assignments in our life, the relationships that he's placed there, that there's this battle going on, there's this fight that takes place, and that we have to have this awareness, first of all, that that person, that individual, that thing is not our enemy, but we have an enemy, and that in order to win that battle, that we have to put on God's armor and do what he's called us to do. But he's telling us, basically, that hey, there's gonna be times where it feels like it's taken a long stinking time. Like, how long is this gonna take? Well, I've done everything I know to do. I've done everything I know to do. I've been standing, and so what do I do next? And he says right here, keep standing. Stand firm. Stand firm. So this is what it means to stand. Number one is this, keep doing what you know to do no matter how long it takes. Keep doing what you know to do. Now again, I believe this is the word for our church and the things that God has called us to do. Our vision has been unchanging. This is a story-changing place. So whenever you come in here, no matter what your background is, no matter what your experience with church has been, you know, whether you're just here because you lost a bet or it's the one New Year's resolution you're keeping, like, I'm gonna go to church once this year and it won't be on Easter. All right, so that may be your one resolution and you're here. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, that's our vision, is that we're gonna be a story-changing place. Now, that comes with some pain, because that means that all of us come in just as we are. That we don't come in this building, you know, as one person and then come in here as another. And we show up, and that means there are times, man, where we're dealing with things and we work through things and all of those. But this is a story-changing place because Jesus, the story changer, is here. So that's part of our vision as a church, and it's unchanging, even when it's painful for it to be that way. Second of all, we're called to be relentlessly good to our community. And we don't do that just to make Claremore a better place to go to hell from. That's not what we're trying to do. We do it because we see a need out there that people need Jesus, that I don't care who we are, whether you're talking about me or you or the richest or the poorest person in town, that without Jesus, we're lost. And so we're good to people because we want to remind them of their worth, of God seeing them and of his love for them, and for us to represent God in their life, and that hopefully that, you know, that that the goodness of God will give us access and an opportunity to tell them that they matter to him. So it's strategically being good. It's purposefully being good. And it's not a one event, it's just who we're called to be. And so we do these things differently. Sometimes we go into it and strategically we'll do this way and this next one different, but all of them with the same thought of we just wanna love the world the way God has called us to love the world, and we wanna preach a message by what we do for people. And so that's what we're called. And then the third thing is that we're gonna be a place that we're gonna journey together. We're not here to see through each other, but to see each other through. And so to walk through seasons together with each other and that kind of thing. And so we have to stand when we do that. But I also know that even though that's the word for our church, that for some of you, you're in that place right now. That you've done the things that God has called you to do, you're doing the things God's called you to do, and yet you find yourself in the middle of this huge challenge. What do I do? Keep standing. Having done all to stand, Stand therefore, stand firm. You can't do it in your own strength though. You can't do it in your own armor. You have to put on the armor of God and draw on his strength. And so keep doing what you know to do no matter how long it takes. Look at number, we have to understand this first of all, that we're in a fight. Oh, Pastor Rick, you know we're in a fight, man. You should have heard what my husband said to me on the way to church. It was a fight. Well, that's not the kind of fight I'm talking about. It's a spiritual fight, and that's who our real enemy is. So again, number one is this, is keep doing what you know to do no matter how long it takes. Look at number two, if you would. Go with me to Nehemiah 6. Now, remember a minute ago I told you we have an Old Testament? Well, Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. And so it's before the book of Psalms, which is kind of like right in the middle of the Bible. I'm going to tell you how to get there. So the Old Testament is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Keep going. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Now, we talked about Nehemiah some last week and how God had called him. He was the king's cupbearer. He was in captivity, and his job was he would taste the food and taste the drink brought to the king beforehand to make sure that none of it was poisoned. And so, you know, if he didn't die, then they felt the king was safe to eat it. But he had this burden to go back to where his people were from and rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And so he went back there. Well, just like with anything that God calls us to do, when we go back, that again, the enemy's strategic. And so there are people there that whether they realize it or not, that they become the voice of the enemy in our life. Isn't it wild? It's not just them being them. It's not just them being hard to get along with, but sometimes in their own immaturity, in their own brokenness, that they don't realize that the enemy's using them as his voice. And so that's what Nehemiah, he's coming to the end of what he was called to do here. So in verse 1, it says this, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors and the gates. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me, so I replied by sending this message to them. Now I gotta tell you, man, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because these guys had, they were wanting to meet with him, but their intentions were not good. They were not right. And so, and he knew that. And so I love what his response was. He said this, but I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. I can't tell you how many times that I've been tempted to just enter into the fray, enter this thing, and I just have to remind myself, wait a minute, I'm engaged in a great work. I can't get off the wall to deal with that. I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why would I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. The fifth time, Sanballat's servant came with an open letter in his hand, and this is what it said. There's a rumor among the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me it is true that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. According to his reports, you plan to be their king. He also reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you. Look, there is a king in Judah. You can be very sure that this report will be back. Will get back to the king. So I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. So now he begins to threaten him and threaten his motives. Hey, look, man, I've heard about you. I've heard what your real reasons are. Your real reason is not to build this wall. Your real reasons are you want to be king. And, you know, I've heard about it, and I believe it to be true, and I'm telling the king about it, so you can be sure that report will get to him. And he said this. I replied, there's no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. Stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Well, this is what it means to stand. Second thing is stay focused. Stay focused on the battle that you're called to fight. Stay focused on that. Don't let the enemy, we don't want to let the enemy distract us as a church and to engage in things that aren't our battle, but to stay focused on what God's given us. You know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we can deal with people in situations in your own life. You may be dealing with people that their motives are all wrong, and they, you know, they're in a season of life where they have no interest in following God. They just, you know, they just see you doing something, and they just want to just, you know, make your life a little bit more miserable. And, you know, and one of the challenges we have back in the good old days, I'm old enough now I can talk about the good old days. I lived some of the good old days. Back in the good old days when there was no social media, that people that said stupid things, we typically just didn't give them a microphone. Those were the good old days. But social media means that you can say the stupidest thing in the world and get a microphone. And then you realize after a while that some people like stupid things. And so you can build a platform saying stupid things on social media. I'll probably stop on that right there. So today, these aren't the bad old days, they're just not the good old days. And so today, you know, that you know, we have all of these things that we have to deal with, all of these things that can be a distraction. And sometimes, you know, the enemy's trying to nudge us into battles that aren't ours, trying to get us to notice things that are just, they really have no weight, they carry no power, but I can, you know, we can just feel our flesh trying to yank us into that, and it pulls us out of what God is, you know, leading us to do, calling us to do, giving us to do. It can pull us out of the things in our relationships that matter and get us, you know, just off track. Or, like in this situation, these guys, when that didn't work, when he was unwilling to meet with them, then they began to question his motives and accuse him falsely and all of those kind of things. And I love what he did. He said, man, he said, I just continued the work. How scripture put it here, he said this. He said, so I continued the work with even greater determination. And so the enemy uses all of these things to try to get us frustrated, to try to get us engaged in conflict. Or sometimes there'll be people in life that you know, just question, you know, who we are, what we're doing, and all of those things. There'll be situations, circumstances where, you know, that just you just feel like you're being attacked. I remember, you know, just for a verse that I'd heard for years. Many of you are probably familiar with this verse, Isaiah 54:17, and it starts out with this, no weapon formed against you will prosper. How many of you have ever heard that verse before? Yeah, and so, but you know, to be real transparent with you, I had embraced that part, but I'd read the rest of it, but really not embraced what it was talking about. It was talking about a specific weapon. No weapon formed against you will prosper. What weapon is he talking about? Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, the Lord will condemn. And man, sometimes we can get so busy defending ourselves, so busy trying to make sure we're not misunderstood that that becomes the battle. And sometimes it's not God's plan for us to defend ourselves. He wants to defend us while we do what he's called us to do. And so, man, to stand means that you don't get unfocused. You stay focused. You're reminded, hey, I'm engaged in a great work. Now, again, as brothers and sisters, man, conversations are good. It's what Jesus told us to do. But we just need to make sure that voices that are yelling at us from somewhere down the road, that they haven't become a distraction, and people that we wouldn't get counsel from, all of a sudden we give them too much credit and let them occupy our headspace. And so just understanding and saying, I'm just doing what God's called me to do. And so we have to do that. We have to be that. And so when we stand, that whenever the enemy comes against us, whatever tactic he uses, and it's not always, you know, relationships. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes, you know, what if this doesn't work? What if this doesn't take place? Or if it's shame from our past. He has just this toolbox of different things that he uses in our life. And again, he's strategic. You know, what works on me may not work on you. And so he's very strategic in how he does it. But we're called to stand. And part of standing is that we stand. We've done everything we know, everything we can. We keep standing. And then after that, that we realize that we're in this battle that we want to be focused on what God has called us to. I've shared this part with you before, but I'm going to share it again just because it resonates with me. I think about David whenever he was getting ready to fight Goliath, and his own family questioned him. His brother, you remember his brother said this, he goes, I know why you're here. I know the naughtiness of your heart. You just want to see the battle. And you know how it is when it's family, man, it can get real. You know? I used to live next door to these guys. They were twins, and they weren't very big. We'd play baseball together and stuff like that. And one day, they got in a fist fight, the two of them. And before that, I was bigger than them. I'd like, yeah, you are as a kid. You're like, I could whip those guys. Well, I watch these two twins go after with each other, and they're throwing haymakers from left field at each other. And I'm like, I never want to fight either one of those two idiots right there. I'm just telling you right now, never do I want to do that. Those guys, they just fight. Well, it was family fighting. Now, again, you know, they'll fight with each other, but, you know, I'm pretty sure if I picked on one of them, I got both twins, and it wouldn't be good for the Burks that day. But but we can, you know, but with David, you know, his own brother's challenging him, and I like this. He said, hey, there's a cause, and then he turned away from him. I'm not here to fight you today. God's got a bigger purpose for me to engage in your insecurity. I'm here to fight Goliath. And so, to fight the battle that we're called to fight. And so this is one of the enemies that the enemy uses. This is one of the weapons that the enemy uses to distract us. You know, to either get ourselves defending ourselves I think it's Winston Churchill. He said, if we stop to throw a rock at every dog that barks at us, we'll never make it to our destination. It's a great spiritual insight, I realize. But anyway, it is just one of those things that we have to be confident of what God has called us to do. Listen to the people that are in our circle that love us. Let their voice be loud. Let it resonate with us. They keep us on path. They help us. They correct us. But those voices from a distance. And here's another thing too, man. Some people in their, you know, whenever God's called us to do something specific. I remember when I did youth ministry, I used to think, how could anybody not want to minister to teenagers? I love this, you know, and that kind of thing. And I'd have people like, hey, you want to minister to teenagers? Pass. You know, I mean, it was, and so, but it's, you know, when we have this calling, we think it's just, we see everything through our calling. And so sometimes people will come and they're like, hey, I feel like I really am supposed to do this. And they probably are, but we have to be careful because it may be like, hey, that's a great battle. And there's a reason why God's assigned you to that. But it's not what he's assigned us to. We're going to be a story-changing place that's relentlessly good to our community, that's going to journey with people. We're not here to see through them, but to see them through. I got this thing. I'm going to pray for you right now, and I pray that God raises up people around you that will engage in that battle with you. This is what we're called to do. And so sometimes, you know, endeavoring to please people or whatever, if I'm not careful, I'll get engaged in whatever other thing and just have to understand that this is what God's called me to do. So number two is this, stay focused on the battle you're called to. to fight. Now let's look at this last one. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. So that's back in the New Testament. You were in Ephesians a few minutes ago, and 1 Corinthians is a few books before Ephesians. It's right after Romans. And so this was another letter that Paul wrote to a place in Corinth. It was a church that he started. And they had had they'd had some stuff stirring up around them. And one of the things was happening is that there were different people that God was using. And so they began to kind of pick sides. Well, you know, hey, look, I like, you know, Apollos is my guy. He's the man of God. He's the person God wants to use. Barnabas is my person. That's who God wants to use. Or Paul is mine. And so Paul was talking with them. He said, look, man, we're just all doing what God's called us to do. And it's not supposed to create division or schisms. And so in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, he says this. This is Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Now listen to this. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. Not the same work, but each of them did the work the Lord gave them. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God. Everybody say it was God. It was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Now, the thing I want you to see is that when we're standing, that we want to make sure that we've done all to stand, we keep standing, and that we want to make sure that we're fighting the right battle. But then second of all, we have to make sure that in our waiting, before we see them, that it's God that we trust to bring about the victory. That now, again, that doesn't mean there's other things that God uses, other resources, other opportunities and stuff like that. But in it, that even those things are instruments that God is going to use. I know in my own life, whenever I was going through a hard season, like if we were going through a hard financial season and then you're trying not to share your business with people. But sometimes when things didn't happen like you thought they should, I remember, the church I was working at, I thought I was going to get a raise one year or whatever, and I was making $1,400 a month with no benefits, and we had a baby, and so we're just trying to make it, and I thought, okay, he'd mentioned a raise, and so that never happened, and I remember I got really frustrated. I know this is pretty real. Is that okay? So I got, and I know it's not supposed to be about money. I get that. But they kept turning off my electricity. I tried telling them that, hey, this isn't supposed to be about money. And so, just struggling. But the problem is I began to look at him as my source instead of God. So I got a sour attitude. And the truth of the matter is that we have to keep our eyes focused on that. Whatever takes place here is that my strength is coming from the Lord. I'm using the Lord's strategy, the Lord's weapons. And I'm looking to him and he's the one that's gonna come through for me. And just to focus on that, sometimes we put unnecessary pressure on people around us. And so to giving them the opportunity to follow the leading of God and what they're supposed to do in your life. And then if we're not careful, then those people sometimes can always feel that pressure and it causes them almost to want to step back because it's like, I can't help everybody who wants me to help them. And so we have to see God as whatever it is, whether it's a health issue, whether it's a resource, financial issue, whether it's an emotional issue, whether it's a promotion issue or purpose issue, that we have to have confidence in God. I know for me that I shared this, I think yesterday during prayer, that when I was wanting to go into youth ministry, one of the reasons why I was so discouraged and thought that I would never get to go into youth ministry is because, I wasn't the guy that stood out that people were running towards offering jobs to, and I wasn't promoting myself, and so I thought, nobody will hire me. And I would see this person or this place and think, okay, well, they know me, maybe they'll hire me, and they would never offer me the job. Well, God orchestrated things behind the scenes in a way that there were things, again, that he knew that I didn't know. So when it was all said and done, I saw God's hand on it, and I couldn't have put it together myself, and so he got all of the credit. And not only did I not get any of it, but they didn't either. And not because he doesn't love them, but the problem is, if I'm not careful, I become to depend on them, and he wants me to depend on him. And so, by the way, I didn't say any of this in the first service, so somebody needs to hear this clearly. So trust God to bring about the victory. Galatians 6:9 says this, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up, if we keep standing, if we don't give up. So trust God, look to God. We look to him to say, God, you're the who, you're the one that's dealt with this and called us to do this. And so I'm trusting you to see this come to pass and for it to take place. And so I know this, that as I've shared this again, this is our word for the year. But again, I know for some of you, it applies to where you're at. And I know this for some of you, you're in a really, life is about seasons. You're in a good season where you're on the other side of a battle and you're doing good right now. And it may not feel like this resonates with you, but I encourage you to hang on to it, because we all know that if you're not in a battle right now, it's just a matter of time, because when the enemy finds that opportunity, and you'll have to remember this, we'll have to embrace this. Let's do this. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to pray for just a moment. And then I'm going to step back and give you a moment just there in that secret place between you and God for you to talk to him. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for each person here that I go to church with. But I'm so fortunate. I love these guys. Thank you for allowing us to do life together. And Father, first of all, I'm just reminded as we go through this, that this church, it's yours, Jesus. It's not mine. I want to follow your leading. I want to do what you want me to do and be who you've called me to be and how I lead it. So help me. Help me when my insecurities take over. Help me when my selfishness takes over. Help me when I forget. And so I look to you and we trust you on this. So help us to stand in the things that you've called us to this year. Help us, Father, to just having done all to stand. Help us to stay focused on what you've called us to do. Let us look to you for the things that we need. Trust you for the outcome. And Father, I pray that also for each person that's in here that's in a battle right now, that they would be encouraged, that the breath of the Holy Spirit would just refresh them in this moment, that there would be a fresh anointing, a new thing upon their life. That you would help them, Jesus, in this. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And God, in this next moment, that people would just hear your voice, your leading, your dealing, they would sense it clearly as to what you have for them. So Father, we thank you for that as well in the name of Jesus. Hey, let's just spend a moment with God.